While Stedman praised the resiliency of Southeast Alaska residents as they pull back from the downturn in the timber industry, he notes that the region continues to face challenges. A population decline accompanied the timber decline, and following the last census, political representation for Southeast and other rural parts of Alaska also dropped. He stressed the need for cooperation in the face of upcoming legislation sponsored by rail belt politicians that may not be beneficial to rural Alaska.
So as we try to move forward and deal with these things, I think one of the things we need to concentrate on is the cohesive unit of Southeast and working together with Wrangell, with Petersburg, even with Juneau, even though politically they're a little bit of an anomaly in Southeast, and then, you know, west to Sitka and smaller communities. Because if we don't stick together, we're not going to keep the momentum that we built up the last decade moving.
Stedman warns against getting distracted by, quote, inner family squabbles, and says that Southeast instead should present a united front.
It'll put us in a better position to deal with our issues as we go forward. We have a need to continue the expansion of the shipyard, and we could see the benefits of the community there. We need to expand our hydro capacity. I was at a discussion with the chief of staff of the governor yesterday in Juneau about the need to expand the water storage in the lakes.
Stedman mentioned a proposal to raise Swan Lake Dam, Ketchikan's primary source of hydropower. He also talked about the Blue Lake expansion project in Sitka, which is moving forward despite a price tag of an estimated $150 million. Power is one area in particular where Stedman says rural Alaska needs to work together. He says rural lawmakers were shut out of an important decision last year.
We, unfortunately, last year didn't get to participate. We in rural Alaska, including Western and Kodiak in the chain, didn't participate in the grand execution of the rail belt energy solution, which is going to cost the Treasury somewhere around $500 million, give or take a few pennies.
Stedman says the already low cost of energy in Anchorage is why so many industries have operations there, and the new plan will help maintain that low cost. Stedman says there are some positive opportunities in Southeast. He notes the two mines under development on Prince of Wales Island and the two Alaska-class ferries that the Ketchikan shipyard likely will build for the state. Stedman says a third ferry contract is possible to replace the aging Tustamina. Stedman also mentioned the ongoing discussion over a pipeline to send natural gas from Point Thompson to the coast. He says former Governor Frank Murkowski had the right idea about the gas line, and if Alaska makes the right investment choices, it could provide good income for the state.
And we need to put in probably about $10 billion, preferably, in my opinion, in cash, which we have in several different piles. And we'd get a regulated rate of return, like a utility, of 12 to 14% on it, which would spin off about $1 billion to a year. And that doesn't count the value of the gas coming out of the ground, and we'd get a piece of that, too.
After his comments, Stedman talked in more detail about where the money could come from. He notes that the permanent fund, for example, could invest up to $10 billion for the project and get a better rate of return than some of its current investments. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.